a special treat today. How many of you have heard that the Huron has its own crisis pregnancy center now? Have you guys heard of that? And really, really excited about that. I remember several years ago, I was out knocking on doors, just sharing the gospel, praying with people. And I knock on this door and I start talking to this girl. And she just confides in me right then that she's like, yeah, I already have an appointment scheduled to abort my baby. I'm pregnant right now and I'm going to abort my baby. And, you know, she had a lady in her life who was one of the grandmother who's like, don't do it. And she was like, I'm going to do it, though. And I was like, don't do it, you know, for your sake and for the baby's sake. And I remember just trying to get her some materials, but oh, I would have loved if there would have been a crisis pregnancy center here to be able to refer her to. So I'm just really excited about this ministry that's starting in our city. And I invited Monica, and she's part of the team, part of the crisis pregnancy center ministry. And so I invited her just to come and just take 5-10 minutes and share with us about the ministry, because I knew you guys would want to hear about it. So Monica, why don't you come on up? You guys give her a hand. Amen.
It's always really exciting to come to churches that I haven't been to. Well, I have been to this church, actually quite a bit. And to look out in your congregation and see faces that I know and love because I've spent time with you, like, and people who have taught me and trained me and given me such uplifting messages in the Lord. Stanley, we've spent time together, and Cliff and Jeff and Autumn. I mean, I get choked up because these people have been stellar in my life and taught me how to pray and to teach me the things that I need to know and encourage me in this. Kendall, back there, Kendall and I have had the most incredible talks and poured out each other's hearts to one another. And I just love this congregation because I can see the heart of God. And the worship today was absolutely wonderful. That when you usher in the Spirit like that, it can't be any better. It just can't. Plus One Guidance Center is a really interesting organization conceived by Josh Jetto and his wife, Kara. They were wanting to do this for the chamber, but God had other plans. He did not want it to be in a secular surrounding. He wanted it to be in a Christ surrounding. So it was not approved by the chamber. It was Josh brought it up, and I caught wind of it, and I called him, and I said, Josh, you have to let me be involved in this because it's so important to me. And so he says, don't get stressed out, Monica. He said, you're okay. We're going to put you in. And so I was one of the first people involved in this. What is so cool about this is I've been praying for years that the interdenominational boundaries will be cut down and that all the churches, because we are the body of Christ, would come forward and would be as one. In this, there's 8 board members, and they all come from different churches. So it is so amazing to watch us all work as one in the body of Christ. So Plus One Guidance Center, and I'm going to read this because it's really important that you get the whole look of what we are trying to accomplish in the city of Huron. And by the way, I really believe that this is one of the steps for becoming a city of refuge, because this organization is going to serve an 8-county area. And I'll mention a little bit more about the training later, but Plus One Guidance Center is a Christ-centered, interdenominational pregnancy help center. We will serve Huron and 8 surrounding counties in our area. Our ultimate goal is to impact generations of families forever by providing assistance to women and couples facing unplanned pregnancies. By doing this, we will meet both the immediate need for guidance in making the healthiest choices possible for themselves and their unborn children. We will also testify to them about their ultimate need for the connection with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We believe, as a group, that if we can save one of these young women, it will affect the lives of generations forever. So this is so important. Plus One Guidance Center will promote healthy choices and provide practical support. All services will be confidential and free, and the services that we will provide will be, if you'll look on your sheet, if everybody got one of these sheets, pregnancy testing, naturally free pregnancy testing, holistic pregnancy counseling, adoption referral. We have three adoption agencies that we're going to be working with through this that are really excited to be working with us. Lutheran Social Services, the three of them, sorry. Anyway, three adoption agencies that we're going to be working with. And then parenting education. We're going to be working with Bright Start, where a person will go into their home for 2 whole years after the baby's been born, and those girls can ask any questions that they want to ask concerning parenting. And that person will watch to make sure that there's no abuse going on, that they're becoming good parents. Also in the center, we will have parenting classes so that that will help these young women to become, because one of the big questions when they walk in the door is, I can't parent. I'm 19 years old. How am I going to parent? So if they decide to parent instead of adopt, we will take their hand and walk them through that so that it will help them. And when we get them saved, we want to plug them into the church that's going to affect their lives the best. And when you have a church body that is not afraid of denominations, we can do that. The other thing is community connection assistance. Community connection assistance is we see ourselves as a big wheel. And we don't want to remake that wheel. We want to plug into that wheel with social services, with community counseling, Beadle County Health Nurse, WIC, Salvation Army, Bright Start, YWCA if there's any abuse being involved, Manolis' Safe Center, local churches. Send them, you know, if they need special counseling, we can send them to a pastor that we know has experienced that type of counseling before and get them plugged into a local church with counseling. Local physicians, we have here in clinic on board with us, with all the doctor, with the OBGYN doctors there. We're working with the Heron Middle School, with the Heron High School, with MOPS, with adoption agencies. Now you're going to get the list. Lutheran Social Services, New Horizons, and Bethany Christian Services. We will also provide one of the most important sexual integrity classes. We're not afraid to talk about sex because God gave us that. And it's a good thing, not a bad thing, but it needs to be in the context of marriage. So we will be affiliated also nationally with Heartbeat International. Now, on the back of your sheet, you'll see that there is going to be a training this coming next weekend on Saturday. I'm going down Thursday night to pick up the international trainer from Heartbeat International. She's coming from Nashville. And we'll have a one-day training on Saturday for anyone who is even considering being a volunteer. You don't have to make that decision right away. Just come for the training because it will be invaluable. What that training is going to teach, it's going to teach people how to take a difficult situation and handle it in love. It's called the Love Approach Training. I've talked to the board last week, and the 27th was the date of the final sign-up, but they said, let's order 5 more books because we haven't talked to this church. They're not going to, if you want to come, we will not charge you the extra $10. And if there's someone who doesn't have finances to do it and still wants to come, we have scholarships available. All you have to do is talk to me. I just really want to see this church involved because you have such a strong foundation in the biblical principles of Jesus Christ. And I am just so appreciative that you have allowed me to come here and speak because this is something that is so close to my heart. Can I share my story quick? When I was a young woman, I was married to a doctor. And he was a military doctor, and he went to Germany. And when he left for Germany, I stayed in the United States for a little while to get ready to come. When he left for Germany, about a month after he was there, I found out that I was pregnant. And I didn't know what to do. I thought he'd be really excited. I called, and I said, "We're going to have another baby." And he says, "I don't want another baby. This is the wrong time in our lives. I don't want to have another baby." And so he says, "You know, Monica, this is just tissue. This is not a baby yet. If you have it aborted within 3 months, we're going to be fine. No, nothing. Nothing wrong with that." And I was so torn because at that point in my life, I was a Christian. And nobody had ever talked to me about this in the church. And I believed him. And I went and had that abortion. And when I did, it changed my life so dramatically. I totally lost sight of everything. I got into alcohol. I got into drugs. I ended up homeless on the streets. And I remember sleeping in a bridge in Sioux Falls, under a bridge in Sioux Falls. You remember sleeping in a rest area right outside of Rapid City. I got involved with horrible people. When you get involved with drugs and alcohol, you get involved with horrible people. I got involved with horrible people. And I met one man, and he was very interested in me, and he became a stalker and wouldn't leave me alone. He broke into my parents' house, and he raped me. And I totally fell apart. The week after it happened, I moved to Colorado, and I had a total mental breakdown. And in that breakdown, God came to me. Jesus came to me, and he stood in front of me, and he said, "You will not put your hands on this child." And I got up from there, and I said, "Lord, I am so sorry. From this point on, I turned my life around, and I give it back to you. Because I love you so much, and I've made a mistake. And the grace of God forgave me of what I had done. And someday, I'm going to get to meet that baby in heaven. I'm going to get to see that baby." And all of you probably know her name. Her name is Brittany Bragg. And she is now a missionary in Spain. And I think Jeff's going to say some more about her in a little bit. But God has given me, taken the worst thing in my life and made it the best, the absolute best. And I don't want to see another woman have to go through what I went through. So I want to help these girls to be that shining light in the darkness, to say, "I'm not going to criticize you. I love you. I know you can make mistakes. But you know what? Jesus loves you." Thank you.
Praise God. So the, you know, when she, her story, you know, when she's raped, the child that was conceived in her through that was Brittany, right? Is what you'd said? Brittany Bragg. You guys know Brittany? How many of you remember her several years ago when she was in here? But Brittany is one of the most beautiful women of God that I've ever met personally. And honestly, that's the truth. She has the most beautiful spirit about her. And her and her husband, they live in Spain, missionaries in Spain, and they've been in Turkey recently preaching the gospel. They're in Turkey in Smyrna, is that right? In Smyrna. And they've been preaching the gospel, and was it yesterday or a couple days ago?
Yesterday
they were arrested for preaching the gospel there, and they were detained for several hours, is that right? And, questioned or whatever and stuff like that. And so pray for them. prayer. They were released. They've been released now, but they're like, okay, you know, they just want to make sure they're not being followed when they go back to their home and stuff like that. But you know, that's the fruit that God brought out of a horrible experience. When it's turned over to Jesus, he makes things beautiful. Amen. Absolutely amazing. So thank you so much for sharing. And I bless you. I encourage you. I know many of you carry this abortion issue on your heart. And because God's put it there in a special way. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. But I encourage you to go to this training if you're interested in being involved in volunteering to help out with the Crisis Pregnancy Center. I'm super excited that this is happening in our city. And so we just want to bless it and support it. Amen. So praise God. So I am going to talk this morning. I thought I'm going to just take advantage of the opportunity. And I want to talk about the abortion issue. And titled the message, Ending Abortion, The Fight to End the Shedding of Innocent Blood. And before I really get into the message, I want to say this as a disclaimer. Anytime that you or me were speaking to other people, and I want you to speak to other people about the issue of abortion. In everyday conversations that are out there, if the people of light don't speak light, the only option people have is the darkness they hear. Does that make sense? And so we have to release the light, which is more powerful. And so it's important that when we're talking with other people, or if I'm talking to you right now about the abortion issue, that we represent Christ accurately in truth and in a right spirit, in his heart. Does that make sense? So we want to tell the truth, what the Bible really says about babies in the womb and about abortion. And because we want to share the light. We don't want to compromise the truth at all. We want to represent the Word of God accurately in its content, even though it's unpopular. We want to speak the truth. But we also want to represent Christ not only in a content, but in the spirit that we speak the truth in, which is love. God loves people. Amen? God cares about people. You know, God loves abortion doctors. He died on the cross for abortion doctors. And he doesn't sit up in heaven hating abortion doctors as he watches them kill innocent children and saying, oh, I want them to be condemned. Not at all. His heart breaks for the baby and for the doctor who's doing it. He wants to forgive them, and he wants to help them get the blood off of their hands. You know, I heard a story recently, a testimony of a terrorist, a Muslim terrorist that was living in Middle Eastern area, I believe. And he had killed so many people. I mean, this guy was ferocious. He was like, he had killed so many people. And he started having dreams at night where his hands were just, this blood was on his hands. And in his dreams, he just, nothing he can do to get it off. And he's tormented by all this blood on his hands. Night after night after night, he was having these dreams. And he couldn't get his hands clean. And then finally, the Holy Spirit broke through to him. And I can't remember, I think gave him a dream or something like that. Basically showing him that there was a way to get that blood off of his hands. And it was through Christ. Anyway, the end of the story is this man ends up giving his life to Christ, getting saved. And, you know, I think of abortion doctors, and they are living in torment. They are living in torment, and God loves them and wants to heal them. God loves women who have had abortions. He really loves them. And, I mean, testimony was amazing. You know, his heart was to rescue Monica, not to condemn Monica. And so he came to her to rescue her, and he's brought beauty out of her life. And, you know, I love this picture. I love what you said. You know, I think of women who've had abortions. They come to the Lord. They give their heart to Christ. But it's like, man, there's nothing I can do to get that baby back. You know, my baby's gone forever. There's nothing I can do. But they trust in the Lord. He heals their heart. He forgives their sins. And when they die, they get to heaven. And guess who they meet for the first time? Their baby. Their baby comes up, you know, and says, I've forgiven you. I forgive you, Mom. I love you, Mom. And they're going to forever, for eternity, they're going to enjoy a relationship with their child that they aborted. Because that it's not just a, you know, we meet at the gates of heaven, their child's like, I forgive you. I'm going over to this corner of the New Jerusalem. You're going to be in this little corner down here, and maybe we'll pass each other. They're going to actually have a close relationship. They're going to get to know the personality of that child and the different unique giftings that God's given them. They're going to be doing assignments, work assignments even with the Lord forever. And they're going to enjoy a relationship. That's called redemption. It's beautiful. Amen. So when we're speaking with people, and I want to encourage you, I pray that you get on planes and get seated next to abortion doctors or women who are thinking about having an abortion, and that you would speak the truth, but also you'd represent Christ in his spirit in the way that you speak it. Amen? Because when this issue is talked about so many times, it's politicized. And I just want to say that contrary to what it feels like and what popular belief is, abortion is not a political issue. Amen. It's not a political issue. It's a justice issue. It's a moral issue. It's about right and wrong. You know, Jesus is not a Republican. He's not. He's not like got his carrying the Republican card. And he's not a Democrat. And he's not anything else you want to throw in there. You know who Jesus is? Jesus is the King. Jesus is the one who sets the laws. And we as a people, we're not like, whose side are you on, God? You know you're with us. He's like, no, whose side are you on? I established the law. And I declare what is right and what is wrong. And the issue is not whether I agree with you. The issue is whether you agree with me. That's what the Lord would say. And that's really as believers. You know, you got sometimes believers, they'll get saved and they're like, well, I grew up in this home and they always believed in abortion. You know, maybe they grew up Democrat. Or maybe they grew up Republican, but they still believed in abortion, thought it was okay or whatever. And they're just like, well, that's just who I am. It's like you have a new identity now. And your identity is not primarily rooted in a loyalty to a political party or even primarily rooted in loyalty to a set of beliefs that are out there. You belong to the Lord now. And everything that you've ever believed and everything you've practiced is now on the table. And it's like, Lord, what do you think about this? And you make known that what you think to me, and I will make the adjustment to line up with you. Does that make sense? And when we do that, guess what happens? Blessing comes into our life because people are broken and our belief systems that are out of alignment with the truth lead us into greater levels of brokenness. But when we line up with the truth, life comes, wholeness comes. Amen?
Amen.
So, what does the Word of God say about abortion? What's heaven's perspective? I just want to show you from the Scriptures. Why is abortion so bad? Psalm 139. The psalmist writes to God, "For you, God, created my inmost being." Listen to this phrase and actually picture this. "You knit me together in my mother's womb." When I look at a pregnant woman, I know there's a living being on the inside of her. And I actually think about this verse many times. And I try to imagine what it looks like as Jesus is just knitting together the cells, the bones, the lungs, the organs, the heart. I remember when my wife was pregnant with our kids, and especially the first one, you know, the first experiences. They're both awesome, but the first one is so exciting. And she's pregnant with my firstborn son. And I remember when it was, she'd go in for her regular appointments. You know what I mean? She's going to the doctor. And they, you know, they measure her, how big she is. And they you can hear the heartbeat. And I loved hearing the heartbeat. And you know, little Malachi's in there, and he's so tiny, you know, at this young age. I mean, they're really, really, really little at that stage. And yet, they put this instrument up against the womb, the belly, and you could just hear it, and baby heartbeats are fast. And it's like, I'm like, that's my boy! that's my girl, you know, whoever, because I didn't know at that point, you know, but I was so excited. I'm like, look what Jesus did. He created a human heart out of nothing. The miracle of conception, think about it. How does a sperm cell and an egg become flesh, bone, a heart, a mind, a brain that tells everything to function? All the intricate things that make up a human being are formed in the womb. You know, babies have feeling, actually. They can feel physical, even emotional. Little children do. They're alive in the womb because God is knitting them together. And he's like, I have plans for this child. And he builds them exactly tailor-made. Do you know that there is no copies anywhere in the world of human beings? Every one of you and every human being in all the world is completely unique. It's not like God takes a personal, intimate interest in every detail of every single human being that's ever. And it's from the womb he's at work. Isn't that amazing? You know, it's not like God has a factory assembly line, you know, this whole bin of lungs, a whole bin of bones, a whole bin of hearts. And he's like, you know, I'll just get the angels to work and just put them together and carbon copies. Not at all. God's like, no, I got this one. I'm not delegating this one to an angel. I am personally going to stitch together, I'm gonna knit together in the womb every fiber of this person that's made in my image. Isn't that amazing? And God causes that to come into being. And the psalmist is meditating on this, and he continues in verse 14. He says, God, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Everybody say, I am wonderful. Because when he says your works are wonderful, what's he talking about? You created me, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I am your work, and your work is wonderful. And we need to renew our minds to think about ourselves the way God thinks about us. Amen. We are wonderfully made. He says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Do you know that, you know, Lisa's pregnant right now?
Yes.
We love babies. Do you know right now that process is happening inside of her right now as we speak? And do you know that as it's happening, do you know that according to this scripture, God knows the exact number of days that this child has been ordained to live according to God's purpose? And of course, as the child's going to love Jesus like his parents or her parents, whoever it is, don't know yet, but God does. And so that child's going to live forever and ever. But God knows the number of our days. You know, children actually feel things in the womb. They can feel, because you know what? You know what science tells us? Not science. You know what the voice of the world tells us, the voice of the devil in the world. It says it's a blob of tissue. It's dead. But do you know what? You could take a 40 ultrasound and you can watch the child suck their thumb. The child actually responds to your voice. In fact, a lot of people will tell you as you're pregnant, they're like, talk to your baby inside the womb because it matters, you know, and they've done studies where they're like, no, it really affects them. I remember I heard that. I talked to my son and my daughter when they were in the womb regularly. I would just get down next to Autumn's belly. And I'd be like, I love you so much. I can't wait to see you. I would literally say things like this. I'm so excited about your life. Your mom and I are rejoicing over you. We give praise to God for you. I know that he's knitting you together right now. And I know he's doing a great job. And I just say things like this. And I bless you. You're going to be a man of God. You're going to be a woman of God. You're going to fulfill the wonderful purposes that he's made you for. And do you know what? Malachi was born, and you know, he's like all babies when they're born, most of them, you're like, ah, He's screaming. He's like, I was in peace. It was warm. And you brought me out here and it's freezing and there's bright lights and ah. And he's just crying. This is what I imagine they're thinking. I don't actually know this. But I can't remember that far back in my own life. But he's crying and crying. And the nurses are trying to console him. They can't really console him. They getting him cleaned up, which is probably making things worse, you know, the wiping him down with cloths. And then they're done. And they're like, he's still crying. And they're like, look at me. And they're like, would you want to hold your son? I'm like, yeah, are you kidding? I've been longing for this day for longer than 9 months. I pray for a baby before she ever conceived. I prayed for my son and my daughter before they came to be. And I was like, yes. And do you know what? I held him in my arms. And as soon as I spoke, I was like, I love you, Malachi. This is your daddy. Instantly, as soon as I spoke, he calmed down. This is a true story. I stood in awe of God. I was like, wow, it's really true. I think he recognizes my voice. He's like, oh, this is peace. This is daddy. I feel secure. Isn't that amazing? These science tells us, I mean, with technology now, it is a no-brainer that the lie, the myth of it's just a dead tissue, that is easily, get on YouTube. Just get on YouTube and look up 40 ultrasounds, and you can watch babies. You know, they're in there. They'll suck their thumbs. They move around. They get in different positions, and they do all this kind of stuff. You know, mamas know it. They can feel, does a dead mass of tissue kick? No. Does it have a heart that beats and causes blood to pump through its whole body? It's not a dead mass of tissue. It's a living person inside of there. In Genesis chapter 9, God established the law. He says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. It says, for in the image of God has God made man. God says, it is illegal for you to kill and take the life of another human being. It's illegal to do that because they're made in my image. I created them. You didn't create them, so you can't take their life. I am the one who made them. And he made it illegal, and he was trying to, there was evil and sin in the heart of people by this point when he laid this law down. And so, you know, and so he knew that hatred would blossom into murder in the human race. He knew that this would happen. So he laid down a law to discourage people from acting out the murderous impulses in their hearts. And he says, hey, if you kill somebody else, your life, your own life is going to be taken from you. So you may not like that person, but you like yourself and don't want to die, so you let them live. Does that make sense? That's the point of the law at that time. Praise God. God changes our hearts and takes the hatred out and puts love in. So that's the law. But then look at Exodus chapter 21. The law continues, and it says, if men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. Here's I'll just summarize it for you. Two guys get in a fight. There's a pregnant lady standing there or close by. I don't know, something happens and they accidentally hit her, bump into her, whatever it is. Or maybe they just get mad and they just hit her because they're ticked off, whatever it is. But she's pregnant, and it's not just that she gets injured, but it causes her to go into premature labor. And she gives birth to the baby. Now, if she gives birth to the baby and the baby's born healthy and okay, then the guy who accidentally or purposely, whatever it is, hit her, he still has to pay a fine. Because you hit a person. You caused this to happen by your foolish actions. He still has to pay a fine. But listen what he says. If the baby dies, the baby's born stillborn because she gave birth prematurely, he says, it's your fault. You're guilty. It's the same exact penalty as if you were to kill a 15-year-old. Yep. You kill a 3-month-old in the womb, and you death penalty in the same way as if you killed an adult. Why? Why is that? Because in God's eyes, a human being is a human being, whether it's outside the womb or inside the womb. Whether it's 3 months old in the womb or 3,000 months old somewhere beyond the womb. Are you guys with me? A living being, a human being, is a human being to God. He does make no distinction between killing a person in the womb or out the womb. Do you know what? Here's the crazy thing about the laws in America. If this scenario happened in America, if a guy gets mad at a pregnant woman and he goes and he beats her and she dies, and because of that, the baby in her womb dies as well, do you know that he's charged with double homicide? That's the law of the land. And that is a right law. It's rooted in Scripture. That law is in agreement with the law of God. That's a good thing. But do you know what? The same law of the land says that an abortion doctor can go in there and do it with the lady's permission, and he can bring an end and stop the beating heart and stop the life that is already there. And it's completely okay. It's completely legal. It's the woman's choice. What? If the baby was born, and 2 weeks into the baby's life, the mother stressed out and she were to, you know, smother her child and suffocate and kill her child on purpose because she just can't handle it anymore, she would be charged with homicide. But if she were to allow an abortion doctor to do it 4 weeks sooner while it's in her womb, she would be celebrated in our culture and it would be completely permitted. Do you see the lunacy of the sinful mind and human reasoning? God is not a lunatic. He makes sense. He's like, guys, this is the way it is, and I'm consistent on this. That's why I say this isn't a political issue. You know, the devil wants to say it's a political issue to get us to shut up from speaking the truth. You know, if somebody just comes up to me and they're just like, you know, whatever, you're just one of those conservative Republican people. I'm like, I'm not speaking to you as a conservative or Republican or anything like that. I'm speaking to you as a human being representing Christ. Murder is wrong. Period. I've actually, you know, believers will say this. They'll say, you know, I just don't think the church should get involved in politics. This isn't politics. No. This is morality.
That's right.
Leviticus chapter 20. God says, say to the Israelites, any Israelite or any alien living in Israel. That's not a Martian. That's a foreigner. So some guy from Syria comes and lives inside of Israel. And they're in foreign aliens. So living in Israel, who gives any of his children to Molech must be put to death. You know what that is? Here's what's happening. One of the idols that were worshipped was named Molech. How many of you know idols? They look like, a lot of times, not always, but you know, wood and stone. And it's like, it's just a dead, lifeless image. But here's the thing. Behind that image is a demon.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That stirs up a certain value system and religious belief system that causes people to destroy themselves and others. So there's this idol, God, so to speak, named Molech. There's a demon spirit behind it. And one of the ways, as being involved in that religion, one of the things they would do was to get some sort of favor from this god. They would sacrifice, they would take their child, and they would actually kill their own child sacrifice. They would sacrifice their child on an altar. God's like, I'm not playing that. That will not be tolerated among the people that I live in covenant relationship with. So God, at this time, it's Israel. And God's making the laws of this nation. And he says, guys, I'm going to tell you what it is. If anybody in this land kills their child as an offering to this god, that person's put to death. Then he says this, the people of the community are to stone him. I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from his people. For by giving his children to Molech, he has defiled my sanctuary and profaned my holy name. Now, listen to this. Everybody say responsibility. Listen to this. If the people of the community close their eyes when that man gives one of his children to Molech, and they fail to put him to death, I will set my face against that man, and his family will be cut off from their people, both him and all who follow him, in prostituting themselves to Molech. So he's like, hey, community, you have a responsibility to enforce righteous laws. As a community, you have a responsibility not to tolerate the murder of innocent children. And if you fail to take responsibility for that, God says, I will hold the community responsible as well as the man who did this. Whoa. Now, I want to be very clear on this. And the Bible is not advocating that we go out and murder abortion doctors. Because for them, the way that their law, their judicial system worked at this time, was this person's done it, if he's found guilty to do it, the corporate judicial punishment is the way they would enforce the death sentence when this guy's found guilty, is the community would stone him. They didn't do electric chair. They didn't have that kind of thing. They would stone him. That's what they would do. And the people's like, he's like, if you will not carry out justice to agree with my laws and you tolerate this kind of behavior, then I have an issue with you as well. So what does that mean for our nation? For our nation, when we have legalized the murder of innocent children in the womb. Because remember, to God, the three-month-old in the womb, there's no difference between that and a three-year-old out of the womb. Right? Are you guys all on me? Does this make sense? It's pretty simple, isn't it? These things are not, you know, a lot of people are like, well, it's just so confusing. I'm like, no, it's not. If you base what you believe and practice solely on the Word of God and tune out the cultural chatter and just lock in and base everything you believe and think upon what the Scriptures say, it's actually a pretty easy thing to figure out. I said that I was talking to a guy recently, a pastor, about the same-sex marriage thing. And he's like, you know, I've never really studied it out in Scripture. And he's like, you know, I just, you know, I don't know for sure where I stand or what I believe on that. And I told him the same thing. I was like, you know what? I was like, tune out the cultural chatter. I said, it shouldn't take you very long. There's probably only 6 places in the Bible where it explicitly mentions homosexuality. And every one of them are overwhelmingly negative when it talks about that practice. And so I'm like, you know, you should be able to do that in a day and figure that out. It's a no-brainer if you only base your beliefs upon the Scriptures. I says, but if you listen to all the sob stories and all the human reasoning arguments out in culture and then take all that and throw it in the pot with the Scriptures as well and mix them all together and try to come to your conclusion based on all that, it's confusing. But it's not if you take all the other junk out and base it only on what God says. That's easy. And it's the same way with abortion. It's the same way with abortion. Here's the facts. Annually, 46 million babies die from abortion worldwide. That's a huge number, isn't it? It's like, how do you even wrap your mind around that number? Here's how. That's approximately one baby being killed every 2 seconds. In the 6 to 8 seconds, I just was silent right there. 3 to 4 babies were killed around the world. That didn't need to be. That's 3 or 4 people who had a divine purpose, that purpose was aborted through their life being aborted. An estimated 50 million babies have been aborted since 1973 in America. 50 million. Approximately 24% of all U.S. pregnancies end in abortion. 24%. That's like, listen, 1 out of every 4 babies that is conceived on American soil are killed by their parents. I'll say that again. Think, this is the statistics. 1 out of every 4 children that are conceived on American soil are murdered by their parents. What kind of a crazy society is that to live in? A society where one out of four children are murdered by their own parents. Nearly 8 in 10 U.S. Because we just think, wow, those statistics are terrible. It's because there's so many people that don't know the Lord. I agree with that statement. But listen to this. Nearly 8 in 10 U.S. women obtaining an abortion report a religious affiliation. And we would probably think, oh, yeah, well, they're probably like New Age or Hindu or something like that so that they could say those things. Listen to this. The largest percentage of those, 43%, are Protestant. 27% are Catholic. I really appreciate the Catholic denomination on this issue has taken a pretty bold stand in not compromising for life. I really appreciate that. I love the Catholic Church here in town. You know, they have all those crosses set up in the yard representing the babies who have been aborted in South Dakota. I praise God for that. But do you know what? Within that very denomination, 27% who say they're Catholic are aborting their babies. And 8% are other religions. Think about this. What if, during the time I figured it out, I'm preaching, let's say I won't, but let's say I preach an hour today. I'm not planning on it. You never know, though. So if I start feeling anointed, anything can happen. But in the 1 hour I would preach this sermon, 1,800 babies will be aborted while you're listening to me today. Now, I want you to think, what would happen in society if an army stormed into Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and they stayed there for 2 hours, and they rounded up 3,600 children 3 years and under. And they took these children and murdered them. Not, you know, like completely in an inhumane fashion. The way babies are aborted is absolutely horrifying. And they just did it in broad daylight in front of everybody. What would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. There would be an outrage. The media would say, no way, we will not tolerate this. President Obama, get a military over there and stop this stuff, right? We would be like, we refuse to tolerate this. Yet it's done every single day in abortion clinics and we don't care. We throw our normal human logic out the window, refuse to just look at the plain facts. Look at an ultrasound. It is not hard to figure out. Not only is the word clear on this, science is clear on this. I mean, there is no denying that is a living being in there. A child could look at the monitor of the ultrasound and say, yeah, that's a baby. It's alive. It sucks its thumb in the womb just like it does when it's out of the womb. It's a living being. And we would not tolerate that. But we do when it's done in an abortion clinic. Do you see why we need to speak out on this? But listen, I want to remind you, a lot of times when we think about what's being done, it's naturally to feel that rage stirred up in our own hearts. Like, how could they do this? And that's a righteous indignation. That's not wrong. But it's important that we take that to the Lord. And we get his heart for the people who are doing this. Jesus crucified on the cross, says, Father, forgive them. Why? They know not what they do. They're broken, they're deceived, they're hurting. They need Jesus. Amen? So how do we engage the power of God? I just got to share this testimony before I go into that part. There's a video online. My wife watched it. I haven't watched it because I'm just like, I don't need to watch it. I get it by hearing the story. An abortion doctor videotaped. He had like an ultrasound or something hooked up where they could see the baby. And he wanted to videotape the abortion happening. Listen, this is how deceived he was. To prove once and for all so people could see it live on camera that it's a blob of tissue and that it feels no pain and that it's not hurting or killing anything. So as he does it, and you're watching it live on a screen through the ultrasound technology, as he's doing it, he sees this, and as he injects the baby through the skull, penetrates the skull and the brain, the baby screams in the womb. I mean, just instantly, just like you would. If somebody came up to you and just stabbed you through the skull into the brain to inject poison or worse, to suck your brains out. If they came to you that, what would you do? Ah! I mean, right? Well, that's exactly what this baby did. And it's on camera and he catches it and it rocked his world. He was like, oh my goodness. And it's called the silent scream. And he left the abortion practice. I hope he found Christ. I haven't heard the whole story. I hope he's come to the Lord. But you know what happens? Is this is what we do. We go to college and we listen to all these people telling us lies. In the very place that's supposed to be educating us, they go completely against obvious science. And we believe the lies and we listen to philosophical arguments and we deceive ourselves that this is just a mass of tissue. And then all of a sudden, when something happens and God allows us to see our error, to see the obvious, which our conscience bears witness to all the time. It rocked his world, man. He left the practice. I hope he got saved. It's a living being. How do we engage the power of God in the battle to end abortion? Ephesians 6. You guys doing okay? That's not pleasant, is it? That's why I haven't watched the video. I'm like, I get it. I hear the story. That's enough for me. I believe it. But I think it's important for us, yeah, not to just turn a blind eye because it's uncomfortable, because it's uncomfortable for babies, and people need to speak the truth. Ephesians 6, Paul says, a final word, be strong in the Lord's mighty power, put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. Here is the key, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. Our enemy is not abortion doctors. It's not liberal politicians. It's not university philosophy professors who are deceiving people with an agenda. They're not our enemy. The devil is our enemy. The devil who deceives them and who takes advantage of women in weak moments. You know, you hear, you know, your husband's like, I don't think we should do this. And he's gone. He's overseas. And it's a vulnerable moment in your life. And it's just like the devil to, ha, there's a weak moment. And not to help in a weak moment, but now I can take advantage. They're vulnerable right now. And he comes in. He says, now, just abort your baby. And he takes advantage of people in vulnerable moments. A lot of times they're hurting. They're confused. They're broken. And they think the only way out is I just got to get rid of this thing. And the devil lies to them. Those people aren't our enemy. It's the devil who's our enemy. You guys with me? And so we have to, if we are going to win the fight against abortion, it's not going to be by just arguing with people. Although we need to speak the truth in love, in love, in love, in love. But it's going to be, we have to deal with the demons who are behind it. The battle to end abortion is a spiritual battle. Again, it's not a political one. Therefore, we must engage supernatural power of God in fighting using spiritual weapons. The Bible says, we live in the world, but we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have what? Come on, that's power. There's no greater power than the divine power. Divine power to do what? Demolish strongholds. I love that it used the word demolished. That's a good word. It doesn't say, you know, I just kind of scoot them out of the way. It's like, I obliterate demonic strongholds. Yes, God, do some demolishing of these strongholds in America. And he's like, okay, I am so ready. I'm actually trying to get you ready. That's why you feel stirred up right now. It's the Holy Spirit stirring us, right? He's like, I'm already ready. I'm stirred up, but I work through people. And so I want you to agree with me. So it's like, Lord, what do I have to do? What do I need to do to get that divine power released to demolish this stronghold in the earth? we use our spiritual weapons that release this power. See, our weapons are superior, not inferior. And I'm going to do just four spiritual weapons. Number one is love. Do you know that love is a spiritual weapon?
Yeah.
You don't think of love as a weapon, do you? I love you. No, it's real, though. Love is power. Love is power. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Love is power. Somebody treats you wrong and you bless your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And you know what it does? It goes right through their defense system and it pierces their heart and pricks and awakens that numbed, dull conscience. Love is power. We radically love abortion doctors, deceived judges who are making crazy decisions. We love politicians radically who aggressively and zealously promote demonic ideals in society. We love them. Why? They don't know what they're doing. They're deceived. God, open their eyes. And we love parents who have aborted their children. Some of these very people, once God gets a hold of them and they experience the love of Christ and the mercy of God, will become the greatest pro-life advocates in the world. I mean, look at Monica. It's like what she's doing. Because she encountered the love of Christ, and we need to walk in love as supernatural power. Truth is the second weapon, spiritual weapon. Truth is on our side. It's easy to talk about these issues, to be honest with you. Because you don't have to have cute little arguments. All you have to do is set forth the obvious. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth in everybody's conscience. Here's the deal. Everybody you're talking to, you're like, oh, they're so smart. They know so many arguments. Oh, no. Here's the thing. That person already knows the truth deep down in their heart. They're just trying to ignore it and suppress it. So the Holy Spirit's already working. And when you come, you're just confirming what they already know deep down. And they may deny it. They may hate you for it. You know why? Because they don't want to acknowledge the truth because of the ramifications of acknowledging, I am guilty. The blood is on my hands. They're like, I don't want to acknowledge it. But when you come in love and share the truth, God will forgive you. That's why the gospel has to come right with it. God will forgive you. It's okay to admit that you've been wrong, because God's going to forgive you. He's going to cleanse you. He's going to restore you. Truth is on our side. Ultrasounds, everybody knows in their conscience that killing a living human being is abortion is killing a living human being. So speak the truth in love in everyday conversations and with your vote. You know, we think of the preaching the truth. You think, yeah, Jeff, preach the truth. If I ever preach, I'll say the truth. You have conversations with people every day. When the subject comes up, don't be silent. You know that moment of choice you have? When the subject's there and your heart starts going like this? And everybody at the office is agreeing with the lie, and you're like, I am going to stand out like a sore thumb if I say this. Say it. Say it. I'm going to look like an idiot. I don't even know how to. They're all going to gang up on me with their arguments, and I'm not going to know how to defend myself. Just say it. God will take that little ray of light and he will shine the hope. That's what he'll really do. So say it. Everyday conversations is powerful. I remember I was in line one time. I was in the Ukraine with Chad and Winter. And I was in line boarding the airplane in the Ukraine. And on the way flying back to the United States, we had to stop in Amsterdam. I had a one-night layover in Amsterdam. And one of the guys who was standing next to me in line getting onto the plane, he's like, oh, Amsterdam, you know, he's like, oh, you know, the red light district. And he was like joking around like it was a funny thing. And it was that moment of choice for me. I could just ignore him because I'm not going to the red light district tonight. I knew that, right? But I'm like, no, I'm not going to ignore him. And it was so funny. You know, these two guys are joking around back and forth right in front of me. We had been talking for a while. And I said, you know what? I said, I hate prostitution. I said, I hate what prostitution does to people.
Right.
It destroys people. And I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. He's going to get rid of it forever.
That was the end of the conversation. It was just done. Honestly. I felt good afterward, actually. It felt really good to say that. But anyway, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9 says, speak up, speak up, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the silent screaming baby. It doesn't have the voice to say, what are you doing to me? Quit, stop. Don't do this to me. They can't even do it. They just scream in silence. And God hears the silent scream. It rings in his ears. And he's like, hey, you, speak up for those babies. They can't speak for themselves. Say something. Ensure justice for those who are perishing. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless. There is no more helpless being than an innocent baby in the womb. He was completely at the mercy of those mother at the doctors, etc. And see that they get justice. Speak the truth. Do it in love. Do it with humility. But do it clearly and boldly nonetheless. Number three, prayer and fasting is a spiritual weapon that we have. How many of you have heard of the 40 Days for Life campaigns? You know, I love these campaigns. They've been going on for years. And what they'll do is they'll take 40 days and a group, oftentimes it's a really small group, for 40 days straight, they'll pick an abortion clinic and they'll stand outside and they'll pray. They'll pray and they'll fast for 40 days. God, save the people in this abortion clinic. Save the babies that they would not get aborted in. And what happens is time after time they do these campaigns and there's mothers who decide not to abort their babies that were on their way into the clinic to do that. And time and time again, during the 40 days, the abortion clinic just goes out of business that they're praying and fasting about. Why? Because it's not just a corporate entity. There's a spirit that's behind that corporation, Planned Parenthood. There's a spirit behind it that's evil. And when people pray and fast, it looses angelic beings and the power of the Holy Spirit that deal with not just the doctors, it deal with the spirits behind the whole thing that's fueling the industry. And when those evil spirits get bound and overcome by God because of our prayer and fasting, guess what? The natural manifestation of that spirit's desire goes out of business. So I'm praying for Planned Parenthood in Sioux Falls. Go out of business in the name of Jesus. Amen. And save the doctors and the people who work there. Okay, number four. Winning souls. Winning souls is one of the greatest spiritual weapons we have to prevent abortion. You're like, what? How is that? Because listen, of the 1,800 women who have aborted their babies while I've been talking to you this morning, what if someone had led them to Jesus when they were young? Or even last year, what if somebody had led them to Christ? They wouldn't be aborting their baby. We've had people over the years in ministry, I've seen this in our own ministry. We've had people who were considering, women who were considering aborting their babies. And they get saved. They hear the gospel and they get saved and they end up deciding to keep their baby. That's why we got to do it in love, amen? We got to bring the gospel. Yeah, amen. So let's pray together. Well, I was going to skip it, but I'm just going to share this quick. You've heard it, but I want to say it by way of reminder. I just feel like I should. In 2008, I had a vision. I had an encounter with the Lord. And it was in that year, there was this referendum, a law that had been passed in our state legislature, basically, you know, essentially outlawing abortion, or the majority of abortions. And it was going to be voted on by the people.
And if the people said, yep, that's a good law, we want it, it would stand as the law of our land. And South Dakota could have been the first state to have that law passed. Think of the ramifications of blessing that could have brought to South Dakota needing grace in an hour of shaking. And I remember during that season, I was at IHOP and I had this vision. I was just worshiping Jesus, and all of a sudden I go into this visionary experience and I'm caught up. I'm watching. I see the throne of God and I see Jesus dancing like passionately, beautifully in front of his throne. He's just standing there and the angels are with him. There's like a circle of angels and they're all just dancing, kind of this rhythmic tribal dance. And they're all dancing in a circle and they just start spreading out. And then they kind of fade out of the picture. And then Jesus is right there. He had been in the center of them. And he becomes the center of attention in the vision. And I watch him, I don't know how long, 10, 15 minutes. I'm mesmerized by his beauty. He's wearing this long white robe. And he's just dancing passionately. And I'm just overwhelmed by his beauty. And by how alive he is. And by his love. Just watching him dance. I was like, you're so beautiful. You're so alive. And he had this long, it looked like a scarf, but it went like down to here, up around his neck, and then down to on the other side. It was really long, and it was a white sash, whatever it was. And on each end of it, it had red, white, and green, which in prophetic language, red is the blood of Jesus. You guys with me? White is purity, right? Is that right? And green is mercy and new life. A lot of times is what mercy represents. And all of a sudden, I see him in heaven, and he's dancing, and I see the earth, the globe, underneath him. And he starts dancing. He'd be spinning around, and every time he'd face a certain direction of the earth, I'd see trees and beautiful flowers and vegetation just from nothing just whoosh, sprout up instantly. And I was like, everywhere he set his gaze, life sprung up. But not only that, as he was spinning around dancing, his sash would be waving out like this. And when the edge of his sash would go over a part of the earth, the same thing would happen. Life and vegetation would spring up. And then all of a sudden, as I'm watching him dance, there's another person dancing with him after a long time. All of a sudden, I see this. It looked like a 2 or 3 year old, cute, cute little kid, big cheeks. Really beautiful little child. And the child's dressed in a white robe as well. And he's smiling, and the child's smiling, and there's this dynamic, intimate interaction between them. And they're just dancing together, and the child's dancing. And it was the most glorious, beautiful thing. I was overcome by his beauty. And then all of a sudden, he stops dancing. And I'm like looking at him from the side. And then he turns and he looks right at me. It was like he looked through me. It was like the fear of the Lord, just whoosh, his eyes pierced right through me. And I was filled with the fear of the Lord. And all of a sudden he was just like, ah, and he just charged straight at me. And it was almost like he went through me. And I was like, ah, and then it was over just like that. And he was back dancing again. And I was like, what in the world was that? And then the Holy Spirit said, Jeff, ask me what I was doing. And before I could obey, he answered his own question. He's like, I was dancing upon injustice. I was dancing upon injustice. So that night, I get home, and I'm praying in my office. And I'm praying about this. I'm not thinking about the vision at this point. I'm just thinking about this vote that's coming up to end abortion. And I'm praying, God, give us victory. I know we're not fighting against flesh and blood. There is principalities. And I start thinking, I'm like, what is being done to mobilize prayer and fasting on this thing? I mean, I know there's get out the vote efforts, and they have advertising campaigns, and there's lobbying and stuff like that. I was like, but that's just fighting on a human level, and we need to be dealing with the demons and principalities behind it. Because demonic principalities, they're not threatened by our get out the vote efforts at all. They're not threatened by our cute little commercials. Although I love the commercials and I would pay money to fund them. You know what I mean? I think they're good. It's one way to get the truth out. But, you know, just our little political maneuvers don't move angels and demons. Prayer and fasting does. Speaking the truth does. Love does. And I said, well, I know there's all this being done, but we're not going to drive this thing out that just by that alone. There needs to be prayer and fasting. We need to deal with the spiritual root. And so I called up somebody, or actually my wife did. Oh, and then I remembered my vision that morning.
And I knew the Lord was speaking to me. He's like, Jeff, I'm dancing upon the injustice of abortion. And that's what I showed you. He says, I'm inviting you to dance with me, to join me in dancing upon injustice of abortion. So my wife called up this guy who was, you know, South Dakota Family Policy Council, because she's like, they'll know what's going on, because we want to find out what's being done to organize prayer and fasting so we could join in on it. We wanted to be a part of it. And he's like, you know, there's nothing being done that I know of. And he's pretty well connected. He's like, I know nothing. And we're like, we're not going to move a principality by not doing that. And he's like, yeah, I know. He's like, we need to do something. And then he says, he's like, you want to organize it? He brought it up. He's like, you organize something to, and you write a letter, and I will let you use our letterhead, South Dakota Family Policy, and send it to my mailing list, which was like over 15,000 people. Now remember, we're still a small church. We were even smaller at that time. Now we do have some influence because God's just raised us up in that way around the state. But at that time, we had even less that you could naturally see. We were just praying, little praying people. But the Lord raised us up. And we called people to have a sacred assembly in their city, in every city in South Dakota. And there were cities around South Dakota that held sacred assemblies and prayed and fasted direct as a direct response to the letter that we sent them. Isn't that incredible? Nobody even knows who we were at the time. But God's like, it doesn't matter. I just need somebody to agree with me, and I've invited you to join me in the dance upon injustice, because I know you'll do it using right weapons. Amen? Amen? And here's why I felt like I needed to take the extra 5 minutes to share that. I know you've heard that, many of you. But I wanted to remind us, as James River Church, that we have been invited as part of our commission, part of our assignment, is to see an end to the injustice of abortion in our land. And the way we do it is what I just outlined to you. That's the way we do it. Amen? Amen. Okay, awesome. So I'm going to, let's pray. Does that sound good? I want to encourage you, number one, pray for abortion to become illegal in South Dakota and our nation. I think it's a key. If South Dakota is truly going to become a region of refuge, I think this is a has to be accomplished. We have to outlaw abortion. We need to pray for women who are contemplating abortions not to go through with it. We need to pray for women who have had abortions to find forgiveness and healing through Jesus. We need to pray for pro-abortion politicians and judges and people to have a change of heart. Amen? And to come to know Jesus. So let's pray. Father, we just, once again, as a congregation, we say yes to dancing with you upon the injustice of abortion. Lord, we will speak the truth in love with boldness and clarity. And we will do it with a right spirit, with compassion and gentleness, but clearly and boldly nonetheless. So Lord, we ask you to help us in this. Help us to pray. Help us to fast. Help us to do our part. Help us to speak up when the moment of choice is there and not be silent. And Lord, we ask you to release your power in South Dakota to close Planned Parenthood permanently, that there would never again be an abortion clinic operating within our borders. And Father, to change the heart of the people and even to change our laws, that we would have no more blood on our hands as a people in this state from the abortion. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Awesome. I love you guys. Did you already do communication cards? Okay. No? We did. You just missed it, man. You missed out. Bummer for you. It's okay. You can still fill one out, and I'll still pray for you. All right. Yeah, so I guess we have a meeting at my house at 1:30, the church advance meeting, and then at 4 o'clock, out at Jeff and Sarah Waldner's house, and we're going to bless Shiloh. I think next Sunday will be her last Sunday, and then she takes off on the 15th heading to India, so we're proud of her. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you all. Thank you again, Monica, for coming.